We've seen the headlines every so often about a new miraculous drug for cancer or an immune disease like rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis. You may also have seen that these medications cost a fortune, tens of thousands of dollars a year or per course, and billions of dollars in aggregate to the health system. These medications are often called biologics because they mimic or block biological processes, things like antibodies or hormones, which are challenging to design and manufacture. What governments have been waiting for is these biologics coming out of patent so that copies can be made and sold more cheaply. Normally, they're called generics. With biologics, though, they're called biosimilars because unlike normal generics, they're not actually identical. The question is whether the hoped-for biosimilars will get onto the market and save the nation hundreds of millions of dollars. That's what Ellen Leibeater has been investigating.
Okay, so let's go in here. This is our clean room facility. All right, so you might want to put on one of these. I'm
sure. Wow, this is like a full-on jumpsuit.
Yes, it is. And I'll be giving you disposable booties, hairnet, and mask.
Right. An old railway workshop is an unlikely place to house a biotech lab. Yet inside the Australian Technology Park at Everleigh, researchers are busy creating the next generation of pharmaceuticals. Wearing gloves and a face mask, I'm being shown around the new clone labs, which are in the process of developing these incredibly complex medicines.
Okay, these sticky mats are here to take off any additional dust from your feet.
Okay.
Okay, we good?
Noelle Sundstrom is the CEO and founder of NewClone, a biotechnology company developing biosimilars.
So this is where we conduct aseptic technique of cell lines that produce biosimilar therapeutics.
The simplest way to describe a biosimilar is to compare it to a generic drug. The generic medicine you get from your pharmacist is a chemical medicine, and they are easily copied because their formula is simpler. Generics are exactly the same as the brand name medicine, and they are just another product competing once a brand name comes off patent. So biologic drugs are the original drug, and biosimilars are the generic version of that drug. But this is where it gets a bit tricky. Biosimilars can't be replicated exactly in the way generic medicine can, because they are complex proteins grown inside plant or animal cells.
Biologics are proteins. They're not pills that you take. Biologics must be infused. And they are made in a different way than the chemical drugs are made. So you need living organisms to make these drugs, and we use mammalian cells that have the same machinery within the cells that are able to provide the same conformation, the same structure as the body would recognize.
Biosimilars are considered structurally similar and therapeutically equivalent to biologics. But because they're not exact, they have to be able to prove they're incredibly similar in safety and quality to the biologic to get approved by the regulator. This is why developing a biosimilar costs 100 times the price of a generic. Biosimilars cost about $200 million to develop, compared to $2 million for generics. Generic medicines don't need to go through clinical trials to prove they work on the body identically, whereas biosimilars do because of their slight structural differences. Currently, NewClone is making a similar version of Herceptin, a drug which targets breast cancer cells. It will cost between $50 and $100 million to carry out one phase 3 trial on the drug, testing its efficacy.
For example, with this breast cancer drug, how much does that cost, the originator?
The originator would cost about 2,500 dose.
Oh, wow. And so how much do you think your drug's going to cost?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say. But it's significantly lower than the lowest price out there.
Herceptin cost the government over $157 million last financial year. And this is the big benefit of biosimilars. They have the ability to dramatically drive down the price of medicine, despite the cost it takes to make them. Belinda Wood is the CEO of the Generic and Biosimilar Medicines Association, or GBMA.
We don't have a limitless pool of funds to spend on healthcare, and we certainly don't have a limitless pool of funds to spend on the PBS. So we need biosimilars because they offer safe, effective, high quality and affordable options for patients who need a biological medicine treatment.
Biosimilars offer savings to the PBS in two ways. The first is by triggering a 16% price cut just by coming onto the market, and the second is through price disclosure. Price disclosure is where drug suppliers have to disclose how much medicine they've sold and at what price every 6 months. This encourages lower prices, and over time, this is what delivers savings to the PBS. Generic medicines have saved the PBS $25 billion through price disclosure, and the federal government is hoping biosimilar listings will save $880 million by 2020. Belinda Wood isn't confident those savings are going to be met. So far, 7 biosimilars have been listed on the PBS since 2010, but the uptake has been slow.
We haven't seen that huge uptake that we were hoping for. We certainly haven't seen the in-market competition, and we certainly haven't seen an overwhelming number of competitors enter the market.
It's not dissimilar to what we saw when generic medicines were originally introduced.
Many, many years ago in a former life, I worked for a big brand company with a very, very important medicine for organ transplantation that was losing its patent. And this was a chemical medicine, and it was very easy to put a question mark in the minds of physicians around the effectiveness maybe of a generic alternative. And so that fear and that lack of confidence occurs early on in any post-patent medicine, mm-hmm. whether it's the generic or a biologic medicine.
Some of those question marks are about the efficacy of the drug. The regulator, the Therapeutic Goods Administration or TGA, has to be satisfied that biosimilars are bioequivalent. But not everyone is convinced that even approved biosimilars behave in the same way. Gavin Sachs is the clinical director of IVF Australia.
Although the word is similar, they're not exact. It is a new product with different manufacturing process. And in the history of medicine, there have been so many instances where we totally assume one thing and we get an opposite result. So we have to be a little cautious.
In the last 12 months, a biosimilar called Bemfola has been introduced in the IVF industry. It's a hormone which stimulates the ovaries to produce more eggs. Professor Sachs is concerned that the end goal of IVF, healthy babies, has not been tested with Bemfola.
All the biosimilar drug had to do was prove equivalence in its effect on what it's meant to do, and that actually was egg numbers. Very few trials have been done. In fact, I'm aware of about 2 or 3 only. Also, the end result of egg numbers is not really the end result of the treatment, which is babies. So we haven't got live birth data, which clearly we would expect to be pretty similar or equivalent, but that hasn't yet been demonstrated.
That said, Professor Sachs has been prescribing the biosimilar and says it seems to be doing what it's meant to be doing.
I'm part of a big group of practitioners, and some have been really enthusiastic and gone wholly into it, prescribing everyone this drug. I've been somewhere in between, thinking it's really important that it's here, that it's lowering costs, stimulating the pharmaceutical industry to innovate more, come up with more products. I think all that is really good.
For the IVF industry, it's easy to make the switch to the biosimilar because the drugs have no hangover effect. They only last in the body for a couple of weeks. But it's a different story for people who have chronic illnesses such as Crohn's disease or rheumatoid arthritis. For example, people who have rheumatoid arthritis can spend months or even years getting their medication under control. So changing medicines can be a daunting prospect. Franca Marine is the Policy and Government Relations Advisor at Arthritis Australia.
Often people have been in a lot of pain, they've been debilitated by these conditions, maybe they can't get out of bed, they can't shower themselves, and then they get onto a biologic drug, and if it works for them, they can get back to an almost normal life. And so they don't want to go back there. And so they're naturally wary about swapping things around, especially with a new, relatively new class of drugs like biosimilars, where some of the evidence is still building.
Franca is also concerned about the switching that can occur with medication. Let's draw a comparison with generic medicine. Say you're on statins to lower your cholesterol. You can go to the pharmacist and get your script filled 1 month and get the generic medication. And the next month, you could be given the brand name medication. This doesn't change the effectiveness of the drug. But the same might not be true of biosimilars. There's still doubts about the effects of switching.
And the concern is that with biologics, they can sometimes lose effectiveness over time because your body creates antibodies that stop the drug working. And it's really important when you've got a chronic condition to try and maintain the effectiveness of therapy for as long as possible because you have to live with that condition for the rest of your life. And what we don't know is whether that constant switching between slightly different versions of the same drug might actually accelerate that process. And that's what we don't have the evidence about.
One way around this is to prescribe biosimilars in the first instance to new patients, assuming your physician is comfortable using biosimilars.
Yes, if you've never had a biologic drug before and you meet all the eligibility criteria, because they do have the same eligibility criteria as the original biologic brands, then of course you could prescribe it.
Franca does support the savings biosimilars can bring to the PBS. Two out of the top 10 most expensive drugs on the PBS are used to treat rheumatoid arthritis. The government is currently spending $20 million on an education campaign to drive the uptake of biosimilars. Belinda Wood from the Generic and Biosimilar Medicines Association is calling on doctors to be more proactive in prescribing biosimilars.
We need to ensure the sustainability of the PBS. And I think there is a really important role for doctors particularly to play in driving the uptake of biosimilars in appropriate patients, because what that will do ultimately is ensure the affordability of the PBS and free up money to be invested into new medicines.
That feature on biosimilars was made by Ellen Leibeater. I'm Norman Swan. You've been listening to The Health Report, and I hope you can join me next week.